my talk to you this morning is called My Father's World, My Father's World. But I'm going to talk a bit about myself first, because it links in, what I'm going to say links in directly with the care of my Father's world. You know, many years ago, when I came into ministry, I rented out my house for many years. And this was a house I had lived in, and I had cherished it. I did much work on that house over the years. I looked after it. I made it very comfortable. It was a place where you could comfortably live in. I had many memories there. I maintained it, and I was very proud of it. Very proud of what I had achieved. Indeed, it wouldn't be wrong to say I actually loved that house. I loved that house. And I had a number of tenants over the years that I rented out. And most of them were good. A few were very good. However, a few were bad. And one was very bad indeed. The bad tenants didn't respect the property at all. The bad tenants wrecked the property. And to rub salt into the wound, they stopped paying rent as well. Presumably, that tenant felt he somehow had a right to trash the place, which had given him warmth and security and a home. And when I did gain access to the house after many, many months and legal wranglings, there was trash all over the floor. Doors were broken. Floor covering torn and stained. The bathroom unbelievably dirty. Holes had been punched in the walls and the doors. Trees in the garden had been cut down without permission. And the smell was atrocious. The place was a wreck, and it took many months and a lot of money to bring it up to living standards again. I felt absolute despair at that time. Absolute despair. The place I had put much of myself into was trashed by someone who didn't care at all. Just didn't care. Now, why have I told you that story? Well, I was prompted to recall those events as I recently listened to that young Swedish environmentalist, Greta Thunberg. You probably remember her, though she's grown up now. But I was listening to her. I was struck not only by her passion for the environment, but seeing how terribly hurt she was personally as she saw the world in which she lived had been destroyed. You see, if I could be so devastatingly destroyed by my house being destroyed, I began to think about how God feels about having his creation destroyed. So I set about seeing what Christians have had to say about our Father's creation and its protection. And you know, to my surprise, I couldn't find very much that we Christians have said about it. I couldn't find very much. And to my regret, I realized that I too, in my ministerial career, had never preached on the subject either. Hence my address this morning, trying to rectify things. It's amazing that very little apparently has been said. See, it's in an area where Christians should, I feel, have taken a lead, protecting God's creation. We somehow seem to have taken a back seat. And this leads me to today and thinking about our responsibilities to God and the world that He has given us to live in. Not just to live in, but to be cherished by. So what does God's word say about this creation? If we go back to Genesis 1, verses 27 to 28, we read, "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" See, in those two verses, humanity becomes tenants in the beautiful home that God has created. We are tenants in His creation. But somebody once also said that with great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. I'm tempted to comment on some things which have happened politically this week and wonder where the responsibility is. But I'll pass on by. What does God mean? What is God trying to say in those two verses? What does it mean? It doesn't mean that we should develop an eco-theology that worships the land, the sea, and the sky. Creation's not the vehicle to worship. It's the Creator that we are to worship. I remember speaking to a young man who had sort of travelled the world. He was well versed in the environment, and he talked with great passion about having seen a whale that had been beached, and he spoke about its beauty and its and how wonderful it was and how moved he was by it. And I remember saying to him, "But did you think who created it?" And he stopped. And eventually said, "I never thought about it like that." He was just engrossed by what he could see. So we're not to develop an eco-theology which worships the things, but we're to worship the person who created them. There's a saying which I'm sure you've heard before, and I've heard it a number of times. People say, "I'm never nearer to God than in a garden." Have you heard people say that? Never nearer. I've even seen a placard and plates and what have you. Never nearer to God than in a garden. You know, I understand that sentiment. I understand what it's trying to say. But I can't agree with it. You see, it confuses creation with the Creator. It's the Creator who actually wants to come and live within us. That's really close. He wants to come and live within us. You see, the Bible tells us we're not to make idols out of anything. And that even includes His creation. We're not to make idols of His creation. Admire the beauty. Give thanks for it. The only idol we should have is the Creator. Those two verses in Genesis. Neither does it mean that having given absolute domination over creation, we can use it as we think fit. It doesn't mean that. You see, when the resources are gone, they're gone. We can't guarantee that they will be replaced. It doesn't mean that somehow God will always provide for His creation despite our abuses. We need to be careful. We need to be rational about how we use his resources. I want to, but really, what does such an abusive approach say about our view of our Creator? If we are prepared to abuse his creation, what are we really saying about how we feel about the Creator when we're intent on destroying that which he has created? You see, how would you feel, how would you think if you have, having given something precious to someone and that person destroyed it? How would you feel about that? Yeah, you had given it to them. It was theirs. But would the destruction of what you give them, would it have shown much appreciation? I think not. It wouldn't show appreciation. So what does Genesis 1:27-28 mean? Now, I'm not a scientist, and I cannot vouch for the validation of data surrounding global warming and all that scientific stuff. But ignorance should not prevent us protecting God's creation, because we don't understand everything. Doesn't mean we stand back as his creation is destroyed. So what does God's word in Genesis mean? I lean towards a global stewardship model, where I'm a steward, where we are stewards. This is where we are not only in charge of our environment, but we have a responsibility to respect it. A global stewardship model. Carl F. Henry, I came across his wise view. He offered this wise observation. Scripture does not set forth specific lines of ecological action which may vary with time and place, but it does adduce fixed principles that indicate that God was not content to create a chaotic wasteland, but rather a habitable universe, and he expects his designated stewards to maintain that way. He expects his stewards to maintain his creation. I wonder how good we are at that. Individually, collectively, nationally, internationally. Those are the questions I think as Christians we should be asking ourselves when we think about God's creation. I suppose we can... Scripture, as our gentleman says, Scripture doesn't lay out any specific guidelines for how we are to protect this earth. It doesn't say thou shalt not drive gas guzzlers. Scripture doesn't say that. It doesn't say you should separate your rubbish into separate bins. It doesn't say that. The implication is that if we are to be its ruler, creation's ruler, then we are to be benevolent rulers. Benevolent rulers. And we may say, well, why? And the simple answer is because it's not yours. It's not mine. It's not yours. Not mine. We are to be benevolent rulers. We're mere tenants. And some of us might have a longer lease on that tenancy than others. But that doesn't matter, because ultimately it will all go back to its owner, to God our Father. So what are Christians called to do? Well, as stewards, we should be responsible tenants. Yes, we should separate our rubbish, if that helps. We should avoid littering. I don't know about where you live, but I live in a village, and we're advised in our village when we go for a walk to take a bag with us and to pick rubbish up. It's amazing that anybody would think to create rubbish, but it happens. It happens. Does it mean that we should take a shower instead of a bath? Well, these are personal decisions for us to make. But as we think about those things and we decide what we can do individually, it does help us to realize that we are stewards of God's creation. And that's the important thing. That's the important thing. Try not to let our cars idle whilst we're in the garage, perhaps doing something else. I still see that, do you? Let the car idle for quite some time sometimes. I certainly try not to idle my car as perhaps I did at one time. Programmable thermostats, not blasting out heat that we don't need. Replacing our light bulbs. The list is endlessly. And we may think, well, that doesn't mean much in terms of global economy of resources. But you know, when we meet our Maker, we're not going to be responsible for the global economies of the world and their wastefulness. We'll only be responsible for what we've done. We're only responsible for what we've done. The list of things we can do is endless. Endless. Reusable coffee cups. Do you use those? When you go to the coffee shop? Or even supermarket? Waitrose, free coffee? You take your coffee cup with you? Do you litter? You see, little things, I know, little things multiplied make a big difference. Hallelujah. Each of us will be challenged differently and be able to do different things. So we need to be challenged as He challenges us. We need to be challenged as He challenges us. And encourage our government as well to pursue global protective agreements. I hear increasingly that governments are withdrawing from some of these global agreements because it's too costly on the economy. Well, I wonder in the long term which is the most costly. But we need to pick up on these things. So as I come to a conclusion, what am I saying? I'm saying that we're only tenants and managers, and we are ultimately responsible for how we treat that which He has given us. We need to take clear care of His planet because God charges us to do so, and we have to live on it. He has provided the very best for us, and we need to play our part in ensuring that His best is not only enjoyed by us, but for those who come along after us. You know, many times in the New Testament, Jesus tells parables of servants who were trusted with money, trusted with talents, trusted with properties, and then acted foolishly. We've all read them in our scriptures. They wasted that which was entrusted to them. And in each case, those people were condemned. Each case, those people were condemned. They were not excused, not commended, but condemned for not doing the best that they could do with what they were given. And we need to work in ensuring that we get a commendation, not a condemnation, as we look at his world. Let us not be condemned. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the world in which you've called us to live in. We thank you for our lives. Lord, we pray that you will help us to play our part in appreciating your creation and not harming it. Lord, we pray for our governments, Lord, both nationally and internationally, that they too will have hearts which sees the beauty of your creation and wish to maintain it. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.